welcome to episode 147 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live October 11th, 2019. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss the topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In this episode, we have Anna Chu back on the podcast to talk about what to expect from Microsoft Ignite. We reveal some big news around Scott's unconference session, information about unconferences and the session builder, as well as other aspects of the conference you can take advantage of as an attendee. We had this discussion once. We don't always know when our podcast starts. It's kind of up to our editor. He just kind of picks a starting spot. So if we start before this, you may have already heard we have Anna on to talk more about Ignite. Speaking of purple, silvery haired Ignite.
Yeah.
And if he starts after this, we have Anna on again for the podcast. This could be an interesting intro. But we're here again to talk more about Ignite. It is now, what, like, it's less than a month away now, isn't it? It's
yeah.
Like 4 weeks.
24, 23. It's definitely hedging towards the 3 week mark.
Yeah. So you have the countdown on your phone, right?
I do. Because I'm a sucker for punishment. At some point, I thought, okay, 5 weeks out, this isn't so bad. But now as we're hovering around that 3 week mark, I'm really starting to think, oh man, every day is going to be a different thing. But it's fun.
I saw the other day on Twitter, you were looking to purchase sleep from somewhere, I think.
Do you know of a guy or a girl who can, you know, who can meet in a street corner somewhere? I can buy some sleep from, that would be great.
I don't know, but if you want to pay me to sleep on your behalf, I will more than happy be paid to sleep on your behalf.
It's what, like a snoring credit instead of a carbon credit? You're on some
weird
thing.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, maybe what we need to do is have those little sleep pods, you know, rocking around. You go to the airport and they have the little tube that you can crawl into and chill out for an hour. Maybe that's it, you know, the desensitization.
Yeah. One of those floating tanks, I think that would be a good idea. I've never tried those before. It also sounds super frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll let you try it first and
and if I survive, then you'll hear about it.
Yes. And other things on Twitter. Scott is also now, you tweeted at Scott, I think right before we were recording this. I didn't see it. But what is going on with you and Scott and Twitter today?
Yeah. Scott, do you want to do the reveal of what I shared?
Apparently, I have an unconference session. Well, I knew that.
I'm glad you knew that.
I'm getting there. I'm coming around. But my session is full. And the wait list is full, which is super awesome to hear. So we thought we could talk a little bit today about how the unconference sessions are going to work, like how people are going to get in and check into those and what those looks like, especially as more of them start to fill up. But yeah, I'm super excited.
Yeah, this is the first time we've done unconferences officially and that they've been in the schedule builder and that we've implemented a reservation system for it. So it's pretty cool to see that even a little over 3 weeks out that we're getting such high demand for specific unconferences. You're definitely in the lead, Scott. So, you know, kudos to you. But how it's going to work is that in your situation where you've maxed out your reservations and the waitlist is full, should anyone cancel their reservation, then the next person in the waitlist gets their reservation. And so we'll continue until the week of Ignite, and basically it'll be 100% full, assuming. And if there are still people really, really wanting to go to your session but missed out because, you know, they weren't looking at their schedule builder right now, then they can still go to the unconference check-in desk and make sure that they're one of the first in line in the wait list there, because chances are people won't be able to make their reservation on time for whatever reason, and we will be giving up any empty seats to anyone who's first in line in that wait list. So if you really want to be part of these really great interactive sessions, then make sure you do that.
All right. So these differ then a little bit from those main sessions, where a lot of the main sessions or the non-unconference sessions.
The main sessions, yes.
Yes. You could kind of drift in and out of them. It didn't matter if you showed up a few minutes late because you could sneak in the back and find an empty seat or stand in the back. And again, just add a bunch of them to your schedule. It's not And we can talk a little bit about that, but it's not really reserving a spot for the other ones. For these unconferences, you're not going to be able to sneak in late. You're going to lose your spot if you're not there on time. Mm-hmm. It's really important. And you said it closes to a week before the conference. So the reservation system then is closing a week before the conference in terms of being able to cancel and add a reservation to one?
The week of it should be pretty closed because we expect most of them to be full, if not completely full. If there were still opportunities to reserve a spot during the week, then that will still be open. But anything that is completely max capacity, best that you just make note of when that unconference is scheduled. And if you really want to attend, just take a chance and get there early to be in that wait list.
Okay. And if you're not going to go, maybe go in and cancel to give somebody that's on the wait list a heads up of, hey, there's some spot. You're going to be able to jump in and grab that spot for those unconference sessions.
Exactly that. It's just kind of like, you know, when you're at the airport and you're trying to get an upgrade. I doubt anyone cancels their request to get an upgrade, but still, it kind of works in that same process.
And then show up, you said 5-10 minutes early. And at some point in time then, right before the session, you're going to start automatically canceling people that aren't there and letting in bystanders.
Yeah. Yeah.
More or less.
If you're late, too bad. I'm sorry. But we really respect the people who are super keen to attend. And we want to respect that and give them the chance to experience unconference from, you know, T0 to the end. So
got it. And a little bit more, can we talk about like how you're going to seat people? I know we talked about some of that. We had some meetings to prepare for these.
How
to get ushered in and how you're going to mix people up and kind of what the setup is going to look like. Can we talk about some of that? Are we allowed to?
Yes. So unconferences, the whole idea is that, you know, they're different to any other session that you do at Ignite, mainly because you get to interact. Do not expect that you will just sit there, pull out your laptop, take some notes, and be quiet most of the time. In fact, the facilitator for your unconference is likely to do a lot less talking than any other session at Microsoft Ignite. They're going to be leading discussions, certainly give you some material for you to have some discussions within your table, but it's a great opportunity for you to network. And while many of you do have lots of friends that you get to reunite with at the event in Orlando, we do want to try and randomize the tables that you're sitting at. So we'll be issuing numbers within the queue to deliberately make sure that you sit with people that you don't know. And ultimately, you're all there because you're super interested in the topic. So what a great opportunity for you to network with people who also care about this particular session. The chances that you get to expand your network just by attending an unconference is huge. So I'm really excited to see, one, people really enjoy the sessions as they are, and two, whether they get to increase their network, make new contacts that they could use for whatever reason, you know, it'll be really awesome. So,
and you mentioned sitting around tables too. So this isn't where you're going to sit like in rows of chairs facing the front, like some of the other main sessions, but you're going to be sitting in small groups around a few different tables in the room and more interacting then with people at your table is the idea.
Exactly. So we've got tables of 8 planned, and I'm leaving it pretty open to the unconference facilitators on how they want to plan their 75-minute sessions. If they want people to move around at some point, that's totally okay. But we've got tables of 8. We've got screens for people to use, for the facilitators to use. We're aiming to randomize. So however you want to plan that 75 minutes is really up to the facilitator. So it should be pretty fun.
Scott's going to have all the attendees of his unconference session dance. I'm trying to help your wait list, Scott.
Let's not scare him away.
Everyone on your team is unique. So is SkillMeUp.com. Only SkillMeUp provides the bridge from fundamentals to certification paths to advanced skills to accelerate digital transformation with one subscription and 5 ways to learn. Start your free pilot today and supercharge your IT and Microsoft Azure skills by visiting skillmeup.com/pilot or click the link in the show notes below. That sounds fun. So that's kind of the unconferences. We also talked a little bit about just navigating the session builder. So that's become available now. It's been out for about a week and a half when we're recording this. It'll be about 2 weeks, I think, by the time people hear this. But are there any recommendations, tips, and tricks around not just scheduling the unconferences, kind of like we talked about, but about scheduling those main sessions, the theater sessions, the breakout sessions, do you put 10 of them on for the same time slot? Do you put one on? What's some advice there you have for people?
I always advise to double book, triple book, quadruple book if you want. It's good to just have a number of different options because a couple of things. One, you want to know what your backups are if the session you turn up to is full. We do take fire marshals pretty seriously. So we don't want to see too much overcrowding in case anything happens. But also, we use that data to figure out exactly where these sessions should be located from a room perspective. So if you take a look at the session scheduler right now, you'll notice that you can see the titles, the abstracts, the speakers, but you don't have an actual location. You've got a time slot at least, so that's good. But we're using the data on the number of people who've added a particular session to the schedule to determine the demand for that particular session. There's lots of different room capacities within the Orange County Convention Center. And so our conference team, our event team, are super hard at work looking at the session scheduler, taking a look to see which sessions are super popular and making some predictions based on past sessions by the same speaker. Like you would expect a Mark Rasinovich or a Jeffrey Snover session to be super, super popular. So that will definitely get the massive theater. But other at the auditorium, rather. And but yeah, like any other sessions, we definitely use that data to figure out where they should be located. So my advice, please just go for it. Just take a look at the session scheduler, start adding things to your schedule. It makes it so much easier. And we get less likely to have to push out some room changes or even time slot changes just because, you know, a particular session is super high in demand. We really hate to have to make these time slot changes, especially as people have already started adding the sessions to their schedule. Because as you can imagine, if a session moves out to Wednesday when it was originally on Tuesday, like that completely changes how you're planning your entire week, right? So we really want to avoid that, but sometimes it can't be avoided because the speaker themselves has a clash. But that's the other thing too. A few people ask me, is there a way that I can export the schedule to Outlook or another mail carrier? And the answer is, well, not really, because then you're going to have an offline version and you're likely to turn up to a room or a time slot that may have changed. So MyIgnite is definitely your absolute source of the truth in terms of everything scheduling. Ignite.
All right. And that's a good piece of advice too, is to always keep an eye on that schedule builder for changes like that. But also, I know this has happened in past events, is there's always certain announcements, certain things you want to talk about that are under non-disclosure agreements. And because of that reason, sometimes not all the sessions get published until last minute, till some of those announcements become public. So to keep an eye on sessions that may still get added over the next month or so, or the week of the conference.
Like I do not envy the team or person who has to figure out how to let people know about something without saying what it is. It's really tough because I have seen a list of embargoed sessions. And my first question is, well, you want people to go to these, right? How are you going to let people know about it if they only got 5 minutes advance warning? It's going to be tough, but we hold news back for very strategic reasons. But yeah, like I would pay some eagle eye attention on certain sessions. Like I will say that some of the sessions that have got those news planned for those sessions have already published. You just have to be very astute in reading the titles and abstracts to think, huh, this seems a bit vague. Is that deliberately vague? Maybe I should add that to my schedule.
Yeah, I think if you've been doing it a while, you can kind of read between the lines. It's a little bit tougher if you're potentially new to it and saying, okay, which one do I go to and what do I see, especially if you're at the event. And then there's the whole, well, what if I can't go to the event and I still want to consume some of this content? Because there's possibilities on that side too.
Maybe a big hint for you all is to take a look at our MVP friends, because some of them have already been made privy to announcements and absolutely under lock and key, not allowed to break their NDA agreements. But some of them have been actively tweeting about how excited they are about certain sessions already. So take a look. They've been very good at not breaking any non-disclosure agreements because they want to stay MVPs. But yeah, that would be a good lead for you all too.
That's a good tip. So what if you can't make it? I know I've talked to some people already on Twitter that aren't going to be there. What other options do people have for consuming this content then as throughout that week if they're not able to be in Orlando?
It's no surprise to Microsoft Ignite veterans that we sell out every year, but unfortunately some people were still caught unawares and found out pretty late, it basically, and even now that Ignite was sold out. So we sold out on September 4th, which is pretty much on schedule. We usually sell out exactly 2 months out from the event. And we've processed a lot of people on the wait list. So, you know, just under 2,000 people have already gotten their passes through the waitlist process. So that's been working super well. But there's still a huge opportunity for anyone who missed out to still be able to attend Microsoft Ignite, but just virtually. So if you a Microsoft Tech Community member, which is free, you don't need to pay anything to be part of that, then you will be able to access all of Microsoft Ignite's content through live stream, as well as through the recordings that we ultimately do. We're recording almost everything. And by almost, I mean only sessions that we don't include our interactive sessions, like the unconferences that we mentioned, also our immersion workshops, our technology workshops. And so there's a whole lot of content. There's thousands of hours that you could really pass through to really still feel like you're part of the event itself. But that being said, I mean, there's still a lot of things you miss out on, like the attendee celebration at Universal Studios and all of the great activities and experiences that we'll have in the hub, which is what we're calling our expo area. But we are making Ignite a huge investment in the learning for developers and IT professionals. We really want to make sure that all this great content we're working super hard on gets in front of you all, and you are still part of that conversation in one big global community. So it's really a big undertaking. I think one of our community reporters, Tom Morgan, he interviewed our lead for all things live streaming, Jeff Tyler, and he was saying that there could be anywhere between, like, I'm definitely misquoting here, but it could be 40 to 50 live streams at any given time during Microsoft Ignite. That sounds crazy to me. But I would
just a little.
Everyone is always looking to save time in their day, just like moving to the cloud can save you from the mundane tasks of patching, updating, and maintaining servers. Sanebox can save you from the mundane and time-consuming task of managing your email. Sanebox works with your existing email configuration to make your mailbox awesome. It may be using Sane Black Hole to avoid mailing and cold sales emails, or Sane Reminders to automatically remind you when you need to follow up on an email. You can even snooze an email, yeah, just like that pesky alarm clock in the morning, to defer or to de-emphasize an email that doesn't need your immediate attention. So what are you waiting for? There's nothing to install, nothing to learn. Just go to sanebox.com/allthings. That's sanebox.com/allthings to get 2 weeks free and a $25 credit. I want to see the bandwidth that is consumed at Ignite between, because you figure you have all the live streams that are taking up bandwidth, but all the attendees that are on their phones and their computers, everybody complains that the internet is never fast enough. But I mean, that's a lot of data going out over that internet pipe.
Yeah, it's not like, if this is a very, Microsoft Ignite is far beyond a, like, it's not a normal conference. The things that we're trying to do are far beyond what even like a South by Southwest does. Like, I can't, like, I can find some recordings, but I can't find every single recording, and not everything's live streamed. So yeah. So when people complain to me about Wi-Fi, I just have to like take a deep breath and go, look, we're trying to do some superhuman stuff here. I mean, the fact that we even have internet on our phones is already magic as it is. And you want it to actually, I mean, okay, fine. It does feel like the internet these days is almost as essential as having food and electricity and water, but come on. It's really hard to be able to do all of these magical things, but we're trying our best, and we know people care a lot and they need to get in contact with people, because ultimately we've got a lot of international visitors and they don't have the luxury of data in some cases, right? So yeah, I know Wi-Fi is a massive undertaking.
I think it was maybe Chris McNulty tweeted out a few pictures from backstage of the keynote last year.
Oh yeah.
I told him, I'm like, forget going to these sessions. I want to sit behind the scenes and view, experience the technology and all the geeky stuff that goes on behind the scenes for the conference. Because to me, that's just fascinating. When you look at what's backstage, what people are doing behind the scenes, the bandwidth, like we talked about, just that's a massive IT undertaking just to run the conference from that, the technology standpoint.
Yeah, actually, that would be a really cool thing for us to talk about. I might even get a community reporter to talk to interview someone about how do we even make all this work from an IT perspective. Yeah, let's see whether we could do that. I just need to figure out who that person might be and whether they really want to, you know, show what the world looks like behind that big drape curtain.
It's fascinating. So the hub, you mentioned this, and I don't know that we've talked about the hub yet.
Yeah.
It's obviously the expo. There's lots of vendors. There's the vendor list and number of booths is massive, but the hub is so much more than that too. There's, you have the conference, you have the sessions, but then you have this whole community hub experience that you mentioned. What's all a part of that hub? What can people take a part of in the hub that's outside of just normal sessions and a vendor expo hall?
Couple of things. So the hub is in the West Hall. So I don't know if anyone who's listening went to Microsoft Ignite the first time we were in Orlando, but we were in two different buildings. The expo, the hub, was in the north-south building, and then like there was another section where community was and Microsoft Mechanics and the Hangout, and it was really disjointed. And people had to go from one end to the other. It was, many steps were made, and it was great for anyone who was on some sort of like contest on how many steps you would make during the event, but a lot of tired feet, let's just say. So what we've done is we've really compressed everything. We've consolidated everything into the West Hall. And I really do mean everything. So all your breakouts, all your theaters, the hub is all there. And the hub consists of three main sections, even say four. So I'll list four. The four are the partner showcase, which is where you see all the vendors who are there, and it's super loud, there's bright lights. It really feels like a carnival of all the different vendors who work with Microsoft. There's usually a whole heap of swag. There are a lot of sessions being delivered at theaters. A lot of these vendors are very well known for the major sweepstakes that they run.
Motorcycles.
I think I saw on Twitter someone's giving away a Porsche.
Really?
I'm not joking. Yeah, like, look it up. I don't know who it is, but
I know AvPoint always does the Ducati, but a Porsche would be a new one.
Yeah.
That was definitely not AvPoint this year. I also don't know if it's like a Matchbox Porsche.
That's true. It might be.
It's just a little die-cast car. It's fine, but
yeah,
maybe the spirit of the announcement.
There's that Porsche, the 911, that the Lego one. I have that one. You can't see it on my camera. It's right up. It's that
That's
way.
Cool.
Maybe they're giving away a Lego one. Who knows?
Maybe they are. People do love their Lego. And I do know of someone giving away some pretty sweet Lego giveaway, so I'm not going to reveal who that is. But yeah, there's a lot of really fun, colorful, exciting, loud activity happening in the partner showcase. And then we've got the Microsoft showcase. And that's where you can find all of our Microsoft product teams who are going to be there. They're going to have their engineers there, their product marketing managers, all there to talk to our attendees. A lot of the time it's very interactive in terms of they have a whiteboard. They will give you some free consultation right there and then. And many people have told me that that has completely paid back the cost of the conference for them because they got to directly work with someone at Microsoft or from the community, from a partner who have helped them scope out a particular project that they're working on, as an example. So there will be theaters within the Microsoft Showcase too. And certainly every single product I think is represented there. And then the third section is called Community Zone. And Community Zone is a lot of different things. I hope I can rattle them all off, but I know that Microsoft Learn will be there. They'll have a really big presence, including a certification area. MCT ambassadors will be there. They'll certainly be, I think they're doing some sort of like some sort of contest or something really fun, but more will be revealed shortly. We'll also have a developer and architecture center. I think in the last podcast, we talked about how much Microsoft Ignite is shifting to be less of an IT pro-centric event and being inclusive of developers as well. And so we've got a very specific developer and architecture center that includes things like a debug lab where you can come to your with your code and have someone take a look at it and help you with it. There's lots of lounges. I know a community reporter, Tom Morgan, again, is working on a video right now where he interviewed someone who's in charge of the developer and architecture center. So I'm not going to steal his thunder on that, but right. It's really cool. There is also Microsoft Mechanics. They have a massive presence every year, and this year they've doubled it in size. No joke. It's wow. It's huge. They have a very slick production, and for anyone who's not seen it, it really feels like you're in a television studio. They have a massive rig where a camera is mounted on it, and it just zooms down during the intro as Jeremy is introducing the speaker. Usually we've got some great, and actually all of this Microsoft Mechanics sessions, they have been published in the schedule too. So you really get to see what speakers we've got planned. Again, I would say if you want to go into any session where it dives deeper into the tech based on announcements that we have planned for Ignite, spend a lot of time in the Microsoft Mechanics Studio. We've got a lot of stuff there, and it's super demo heavy.
Yeah. Does Jeremy sleep that week? I feel like he is always up there talking.
I haven't seen Jeremy's face in a long time. He sits right next door to me in my office, and it's a surprise to me when I even see him. He's up all hours of the night, up all hours of the day, working super hard on the rehearsals, the demos, the messaging. It's super technical, but he loves it, and he does an awesome job every year.
He does. I'm always impressed with how well he does on those mechanics.
Yeah.
Is the big video wall somewhere in the hub too?
Yeah. I haven't even gotten I've only just scratched the surface. Like the Hangout is still going to be there. So the Hangout is where we have these massive video screens, of which it's all divided up to all the breakout rooms that we have. And so think of it like a Las Vegas casino where there's a sports center area and you can tune into any type of channel that's, you know, showing horse racing or whatever it may be, right? And you can sit in these comfy bean bags or proper tables and chairs to actually tune into the sessions using headsets that we provide. So if for whatever reason you just don't want to make it to the sessions themselves, or you just found out that it's definitely full from your friends telling you that there's definitely not an empty seat in the entire room, then make your way to the Hangout. It's going to be super, it's a little darker than the rest of the space because we really want to optimize for the light from the screens. But some people told me they spent all day there just listening to the sessions, taking notes, and we usually have some food there, some snacks, and it's a really chilled out place for you to experience all of the content too. But yeah, that's a hub. And I haven't even talked about all the other stuff that we've got planned in the Community Zone. There's Community Central, which is connected to Microsoft Mechanics. And one of the connectors is a little meet and greet area where Jeremy tells me every time, like, the amount of people who hound that stage after their recordings have wrapped up, it just makes it super difficult for him to move his speakers off the stage to bump in the next person. So we've got the space to do Q&As and meet and greets after mechanics. So if you want to take your selfie with your favorite mechanics person, then they'll be there. We'll also be featuring a number of community groups within Community Central, and I was going to publish a blog yesterday, but I completely forgot, so I'm going to do it after this. But I'm pleased to announce that Global Azure Bootcamp is going to be there. SharePoint Saturday events are going to have a booth there, as well as Microsoft Teams community events, which includes like user groups, some of the old Skype user groups too. A few MVPs are going to be staffing that throughout the week. So that'll be really, really awesome. And I'm really trying to make Community Central all about helping people know what communities they can connect with after Microsoft Ignite has finished, because it's 1 week, it's super intense, but we don't want your community interaction to stop there. You've got local community groups, user groups, meetups happening, and we've got a big wall where you can actually put a pin on where your group is, the one that you regularly participate in or are a leader of, and that we will ask you to talk to the Microsoft Tech Community team who have a community event space. And we're profiling as many community groups as we can so people can find them, because those three groups that I mentioned earlier are not the only ones that we have around the world.
All right. As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro. Very cool. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. That'll be a fun week. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
So much. Like, I literally told you a third of what's there, but I'm sure we can talk about that for, and I will definitely share a lot more on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. So go follow Anne on Twitter. Go follow Tom. Tom has been putting out a ton of stuff because keep seeing him pop up. So we'll have to put a link to his Twitter handle in the show notes too, because he keeps cranking out videos and news and updates all around Ignite as well.
Yeah, and we've got 9 other community reporters too, and they're all sharing stuff out around areas that they care about. So yeah, follow all of our community reporters.
I don't know why I see Tom's pop up. Maybe I'm following Tom and not the other ones. We'll have to get the list of, do you have the list of all of them you can send us?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put the blog post in the notes.
Yeah, we'll put all of their Twitter handles in the notes.
Yeah, I have a Twitter list that you can follow. So
perfect. Sounds good. Anything else you want to let everybody know about before we wrap up?
A pro tip, if you didn't know, you can actually pick up your pass at the airport when you arrive. We did that last year and the year before, but basically when you get to the baggage area, baggage claim, we will have Microsoft Ignite staff there. They're usually wearing purple shirts, and they'll direct you to where our badge pickup area is, and that's where you can get, just your badge, whether you're a general attendee, a speaker, doesn't matter. You will be able to get your pass there printed. But we give away a bag every year, and that's usually in a big swag hall within the Orange County Convention Center. You won't be able to get your bag at the airport. We don't have enough space for that. But just don't forget to pick up your swag. And the bag reveal video is coming up. Patch and Switch are working on the final touches on that. Everyone cares so much about that. It's like bacon and bags. Like, those are the two things that people care about Ignite. It's crazy. It's like,
Busy running around there. So it's coming.
Yeah, he said he's been field testing it. So yeah, he'll let you know what the cool features are of this bag. I haven't seen it. I don't even know what the t-shirt looks like this year. So yeah, it'll be fun.
Exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, a few more weeks. By the time you hear this, it'll be like 2 weeks away-ish, 2.5 weeks. So, well, thanks again, Anna. We're looking forward to it. Looking forward to actually seeing you in person there. Hopefully. Hopefully we'll be able to hunt you down and find you while that we're there and say hi amongst the thousands and thousands of people.
Well, you'll be recording a podcast there too, right?
Yes, we are doing at least two there.
Cool. Awesome.
Yes, we have a couple podcasts. Scott has his on conference. I have a couple on conference sessions. So it will be a busy week for us as
well. Awesome. Can't wait.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks again, Anna. Try to get some sleep.
I want to get some coffee, actually.
Sleep with coffee.
Yeah, just sleep. So, there's always Sunday. You can sleep on Sunday. It's not a problem.
I think I'll sleep for a solid week, like nonstop.
Yes.
That'll be great.
I'm sure. All right. Well, thanks again, Anna. And we will see you out at Ignite.
All right. Thanks, guys.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.